Sure, small one. Thank you. So our topic today will be the life of the man Apollos. So first of all, let's turn to the book of Acts in chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, reading at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Chapter 19, verse 1, we see Apollos has gone to Corinth. Let's turn over to the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, and reading at verse 11. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the household of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Chapter 3, verse 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers, servants by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Down to verse 21, summation of this chapter, Paul says, therefore let no man glory in man, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Chapter 4, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos, for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one against the other. For who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? A few more verses in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 16. Chapter 16 and verse 12. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired him to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. The final reading, the final reference to Apollos in our scriptures in the book of Titus in chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 12. When I shall send Artemis unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. We trust God will bless what we have read together and the comments that are made from it. What we have read in the last few minutes are all of the references, the direct references that we have in the scriptures to the man Apollos. And as we have considered these persons, these characters of scriptures, our goal really is to learn a number of things. First of all, we would desire to learn from their mistakes, that we might not make the same ones. Secondly, we would desire to be able to follow in their example, and their example of a life of service and a walk before God, devotion before God. And thirdly and finally, we will seek to be encouraged as we view how God has molded His servants. And God has taken man and woman and has made them into what He would desire for His honor and His glory. And we may be likewise encouraged as God is still working in men and women today to bring them to honor and to glory for Him. So this man, Apollos, like many others in Scripture, the man Apollos just is introduced to us in the Scripture. There's no real record of his background, no record of his previous life or his birth. But really what we have left for us on the pages of the Holy Scripture is what I believe God would have us learn of his life, have us learn of his character and those things that we can learn from. If we were to ask many people the first thing that comes to their mind when they hear the man Apollos, likely it's the words that are in chapter 18, verse 24 of Acts. He was an eloquent man. That's the first thing that would come to people's minds. But I'd like us to see by the end of the afternoon that we are together that really it is much more than that. And that's just an initial view that we see of this man Apollos. But look beyond and to see a man really that God has fitted, that God has taken, and God has used and trained. And I believe in his life we see another example of the ways in which God works that are in ways beyond our control, in ways that really are beyond our imagination, in ways that are beyond the way we would do it. And obviously it is something that will bring glory to God. So just think of this man Apollos and the way in which he's introduced to us and the way in which this story is brought about for us. If you think of the events that have come in the first number of chapters of the book of Acts, and we come to the point where we understand that Priscilla and Aquila are forced out of Rome, and that was by the emperor's decree. And so they, as Jews, leave Rome, and they come now to Corinth. And there we see that in Corinth, they meet up with Paul, who's on his second missionary journey. And because they were, as it were, of the same trade, they fall in together, and they work together. Again, it's the working of God. And there in Corinth, Paul preaches Christ. And because he is asserting to the Jews that this Jesus is the very Christ, he's accused of them because he is saying that Jesus is the Messiah. And so they're forced out of Corinth. And now Priscilla and Aquila and Paul are traveling together. And they come to Ephesus, and Paul determines to go on, but he leaves Priscilla and Aquila there. And as their desire was, they listened to those who came. And so when Apollos came onto the scene, there were a husband and a wife who were able to take him up and take him into their home and to teach him the truth. And then where does Apollos go? He goes back to Corinth. And what is the words that he has? What is the message that he preaches there to the Jews in Corinth? It is that Jesus is Christ. And so again, I see in this man Apollos really the truth of the Scripture that could say that God's ways are not our ways. You might have said, well, Paul having been forced out of Corinth, what will be the result then? Well, God is taking up another man, and he will bring him along in his journey and take him there to do as he would desire. So the background and the overview of this man Apollos. As I mentioned previously, we know nothing of his occupation, of his life, or his family, or his age. Really, all that we know is given to us in Acts 18. He was a Jew. He was born in the city of Alexandria. That was the capital city of Egypt. And so, evidently, he heard of the coming one. He heard of Christ. And he knew what it was as a Jew to take his place as a sinner. To take his place as one who needed repentance. And as seen in that he knew only the baptism of John, obviously he associated himself with that. And so he recognized his need for repentance. Anything before that, up until Acts 18, are really only speculation. But about AD 50, 56, the Spirit of God records for us that he comes to Ephesus. From a timing perspective, this is when toward the end of the second missionary journey of Paul, that second journey that took him from Jerusalem over to Antioch, up through the regions of Asia. Remember, he came over to Macedonia in chapters 16 and 17, over to Achaia and Corinth. And now the apostle goes to Ephesus, leaves Priscilla and Aquila, and goes back to Jerusalem. And so the timing of Apollos, how long he stayed in Ephesus, really don't know. But if you, a little bit of inference, you see by the time chapter 19 comes around and Paul is on his third missionary journey and he comes back to Ephesus, that Apollos has moved on to Corinth. And then after that, his movements are again hard to trace. But we will assume from the end of 1 Corinthians that he has left Corinth and then from the book of Titus that he was likely in Crete and other locations. So the background and overview of his life. Many things have impressed me about this man, Apollos. We'll likely not look at them in chronological order of his life, but just the various topics that have impressed me from the scriptures here today. First of all, I'd like to consider for a few moments just the number of and the different words that the Spirit of God uses to describe this man. I was impressed as we go through it, mostly in chapter 18 of the book of Acts, but as we go through it as well in the other references, the different words that are used to describe this man. I'll just briefly go through them this afternoon. Notice, first of all, he's described as an eloquent man. That really is his natural ability. He's fluent in words, the ability to take words and to express them well to others. Then we find that he is a mighty man in the scriptures. And the background to that is that he was a capable man, one who would be able to have the background of ability to take up the scriptures and to know them. And obviously we are speaking of the Old Testament at this time. Then we notice that he was a man who was instructed. And that's a very strong word. It really means to indoctrinate. He was indoctrinated in the way of the Lord. And then you notice that he was a man who was described as fervent. And that word just simply means to be hot. It's like a liquid that's boiling over, or an iron that's been put in the fire and it's glowing. And so in his life, he was fervent. But then that fervency did not distract from the diligency or the diligentness of the message that he spoke. And so he spoke a message that was very accurate and that was most exact. However, we see that there was a difficulty as he comprehended only, he knew only the baptism of John. And so even though he only knew that, we see that he was able to speak boldly. He was confident. He was frank in the words that he spoke. But again, he had the privilege of knowing it was to have the Word of God expounded to him. Simply that means to have the Word declared in fullness. There was nothing lacking in the Word that the husband and wife, Priscilla and Aquila, would have spoken to this man, Apollos. And what did they teach to him? They spoke to him the Word of God more perfectly. Interestingly, you see here that he was one who spoke the Word of God diligently. That's exactly. But then the Word of God was given to him perfectly, and the word there is more exactly. So he had a knowledge of the Word of God. But then his knowledge was only limited, and so he was given the Word of God and taught more exactly, more precisely. And then we come down to where he goes into Achaia, and we find that he is being able to preach the Word, and he is mightily convincing the men. And there is a different word than mighty in knowing the Scriptures and being capable. And here it's really the idea of him looking at the intellect of the people that he's talking to, and he's able to intensely work with their minds as to able to tell them and to show them by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And above all, again, when we come to 1 Corinthians, the character of his life there, that he is a minister, just simply a servant, one who is able to take the Word of God and to be impressed by the Spirit of God and to use and be used as he would desire him. So the words they use to describe him. When we think of the record for us in Acts chapter 18, I'd like to think for a few moments the progression that we see in his life. And really should be an example for each one of us of this progression that we see and is recorded for us. So as the Spirit of God is taking up this man and written this bibliography of him, Luke is given the history of the church in the book of Acts, the way that God is working in the early church, and it's an example of the Word of God being applied, an example of a man willing to learn, willing to be used, and the servants of God just simply doing as God would desire them to do. So notice a few things in relation to the progression of his life. First of all, we've noticed already that he is a Jew. This would simply be his lineage as in relation to the past, a Jew named Apollos. Then we find that he was a man who was born in Alexandria. He was born in Egypt. And so he was a man who knew what it was to be scattered. There was many that were born outside of the promised land, and he would be one who was born out of Egypt. I mentioned already that he was an eloquent man, and I suggest to you that this particularly is what he was naturally. This is what he was as a natural man, an eloquent man, one able to take up words and to use them well. And then we find that he is a man that he is now mighty in the Scriptures. Now obviously this is the Old Testament Scriptures. As the Word of God, the New Testament was not written yet. And so he's able to understand and to know it, the Old Testament. If we were just to look at that verse, verse 24, I believe we would see here nothing particularly outstanding about the man. You know, there were many Jews in the world. There were many Jews that were likely born outside of the Promised Land, outside of Israel. There are many men, and likely many women as well, who were able to be described as being eloquent and be able to take up words and to express their thoughts well. And there would be many Jews who would know the Old Testament Scriptures and be able to turn back to them and to understand what they spoke of. But there's a turning point in his life when we come to verse 25. And we see that he is a man who is instructed in the way of the Lord. And I think we see here in verse 25 his salvation. This is when he understands that there is more than what God has put in the Old Testament. That the Old Testament Scriptures, they point to the Savior, the one who has come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is now where his service begins. We mentioned already that he was a man who was fervent. He was zealous. And then he had the ability to speak and to teach diligently as he desired that others would know of this repentance toward God that he had experienced. We notice again, and this will be the progress of all of our lives, is it not? Coming to understanding of Christ, coming to a salvation, knowing what it is to tell others of the goodness of God toward us. But we see that there is, the Scripture records for us, a deficiency in his understanding. And it's recorded for us that he knew only the baptism of John. And so it is a marvel to us that the way in which God works. And so while he is speaking just those words and convincing the Jews in the synagogue in Ephesus, there is a husband and a wife who is able to take him under their wing and to expound unto him the word of God. I really wonder if this was his first experience and his first indication of understanding of the truth of a New Testament assembly. His practice of a local assembly, the requirement to be baptized as a believer, and then the fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayers, as we would have from Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. So notice as well in his life, for a progression, he is marked by a learning spirit. Not one who would be stuck in the thoughts that he had, who would be content with the Old Testament Scriptures and what they would speak of. Not just content in understanding repentance toward God in the message of John the Baptist, but one who would go on and embrace the things of God as they were spoken to him by Aquila and Priscilla. So he's marked by a learning spirit, by growth and following and development. You know, we might have come to an improper conclusion of his life if verses 25 and 26 had not been recorded for us. You know, if we hadn't had those verses and we had jumped from verse 25 to 20, or from 24 to 27, we might have considered that it was his natural ability, his ability to be mighty in the Old Testament Scriptures, his ability to be fervent in his spirit and his outgoing personality, were those things that drove him and gave him the ability to preach the Word of God and to publicly convince those Jews that this was the Christ. But really, the order is important for us, is it not, in our Scripture? And so we have to come through a progression in his life. And we see that God has taken up a man who naturally, yes, had the ability to speak, but he had to learn the Word of God. He knew what it was to have the Word of God expounded to him. And so his mind and his understanding has been enlightened and developed. And it's through that, and through dependency upon the Spirit of God, that he's able to go on and to do and to teach as God had fitted him. Notice going on, and then in the verses 27, there is fellowship and commendation. Again, how long Apollos was in Ephesus, we really don't know. But notice it was long enough for him to prove himself to the brethren. And so that when the Spirit of God laid, as it were, his hand upon him and called him to move on from Ephesus into other places, there was no hesitancy on the behalf of the brethren. And they were able to give him, as it were, the right hand of fellowship and to send him forth with commendation. He knew what it was to be in fellowship and have the commendation of his elders and his brethren. Coming down to Achaia and the outcome of his life, he was able to help them much. Is not this the outcome of his life and glory brought to God, as there is the life that now has been given over to the Word of God, and he is able to take an ordinary Jew one who is born outside of the promised land, and now has taken him and has fitted him and trained him, and he is able to convince others and convince his own people, his own nation, that Jesus was the Christ, the promised one of God. Finally, in his life, I think we can see the commendation that is proved. It was one thing for the brethren to have the confidence to send him out and to give him and to write those letters exhorting them to receive him. But what joy it must have brought to that assembly in Ephesus. And what joy it must have been to Aquila and Priscilla as they'd have heard of the word of God going forth and heard of the truth of God being preached in Corinth. And they're able to know that they had that little part in his life of knowing that they had a little part in encouraging him and in teaching him the word of God. And so his commendation was proved. And so the progression of his life from one who was unsaved to one who has been saved and instructed in the word of God and going on and able to have fellowship and be commended into the work of God. Take a moment to consider Apollos and his teaching. One great aspect, and I believe the great aspect of his life, really was his desire that his own people might be saved. Really, I think we have in the life of Apollos one who strictly really went to his own people. You don't read of him in many places going to the Gentiles. He was one that God fitted to speak to his own nation. What were the things that he spoke? But really, once he was saved, this man who was mighty in the Old Testament, now that those scriptures were opened up to him, he was one who was able to take the word of God and all that they spoke of. And just like those two on the road to Emmaus, he's able to understand that those things that were written before time, those things were written of Christ, and they spoke of Christ in all the scriptures. So as a Jew, he loved the Old Testament, and he knew that his fellow Jews would as well. And it was from this standing point and from this basis that he goes on to prove that Jesus was the Christ. And so in the life of Apollos, we have the example before us of really how many Jews came to Christ in understanding the Old Testament. And from there, understanding the character of the message of John the Baptist, a message that the King is coming, a message that there is repentance required, and then a message that points forward from John the Baptist and toward the Lamb of God. And so God's use of Apollos was primarily, and his teaching was primarily toward the Jews. A message of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This was his experience. This is what characterized his life. And while that principle applies obviously to both the Jew and Gentile, this was his message really was in the message and the character of the man John the Baptist. So the progression of his life and the teaching that he exhibited there. Just for a moment, as you consider again his life, I was impressed as I went through and considered the verses that would describe him to us. Really, I saw him as a man who was willing. You know, maybe an example for each one of us and an encouragement to each one. You know, how many times have we looked around and we look at our fellow believers and we're able to characterize a man or a woman, a brother or a sister, as a one who is willing? Just look at his life before us here. This man was characterized as a Jew. But as a Jew, he was willing to learn of Christ, willing to accept Christ for who he was, the Messiah of God. And while the Jews as a nation were ones who knew what it was to reject Christ, here was a Jew who was willing to accept him for who he was. And so he was a man who was a Jew but learned of Christ. He was willing to embrace the scriptures and what they spoke of. He was a man who was willing to repent and willing to be and to show it through John's baptism. Then he was a man who was willing to be subject to the Spirit of God and to go forth and to preach the Word of God and to teach it in the synagogues. And then in Noah, he was a man who was willing to be taught. And he was not taught by great theologians, but he was taught by, as it were, humble tent makers, but ones who themselves knew the Word of God. And then from there, he was a man who was willing to heed the call of God and to go forth from Ephesus into other places that God would choose him. Again, he was not a man who was just willing to heed the Word of God, heed the call of God, and go off on his own, but he's a man who wanted and desired and was willing to have the fellowship of his brethren, and he went forth with their blessing and with a letter of commendation. And then if we look in the book of Corinthians, we see he's a man who is willing to take second place. As you read that Apollos and Paul but Paul would plant and Apollos would water. He was just a man who was willing to be a servant, content to water. Again, you may say, what is God putting in our path? Things that we must just be willing to step forward on and to be willing to do. And so Apollos, I see a man who was willing. Moving on from there, and continuing on in Acts chapter 18, I think I see in the life of Apollos the topic of the fact of the encouragement to shepherd. The encouragement to shepherd. Really, it's an example of to those of us ones who are willing to take an interest, ones who are willing to view a man who had potential and to act upon it and to embrace it and to go forward with it. And really, the story of Apollos is really a story of Aquila and Priscilla, the ability of this husband and wife to go forward and to listen and to hear this man and to take him and to teach him. I was thinking, you know, as a bit of a side note, we all know what it's like to have someone who cares. To have someone who is doing just this in our lives, as Aquila and Priscilla have done to this man. As it were, just taking up the Word of God and explaining to us the Word of God more perfectly. And what is their desire? The desire simply is that they would take you up in their hands and then vault you, as it were, higher and higher to a greater spiritual understanding, greater spiritual heights and service before God. That is the desire that many have had. Maybe you're saying today that that's never been my experience. I've never known what it's like for someone to come alongside me and to, as it were, pick me up and to have that attention placed right upon me. Well, I think we, from the life of Apollos, we see there is perhaps two sides to that story. The first of all, we may say, well, perhaps someone has come alongside. But you notice in this man, Apollos, he was a man who was willing. He was a man who was willing to learn. He was a man who was willing to accept the teaching that he was given, to understand that there was more, that while he was still mighty in the Scriptures, there was more that he didn't understand. And so he was just willing. His life proved that he took it in. There was more that God would show. You know, it's not always something that you might say is just is warm and fuzzy in our lives. But there were things that needed to be adjusted. There were things that he needed to understand, things that we need to understand in our lives. Things need to be adjusted and understood and straightened out and perhaps confessed in our lives. And so perhaps someone has come alongside. We must be willing to accept what they have to teach us from the Word of God. Maybe sadly it is true. Maybe there is some here and you've never known what it's like to have someone come alongside. Really, I speak to myself and really to ourselves in an assembly. There should be a sense of personal shame to myself in the assembly. If there are believers that have come amongst us and we have not taken the time to spread the Word of God before them, to know what it is to have them into our homes and to spread the Word of God before them, I trust you know what it is to look around, to see what it is to see a brother or a sister, to take them aside, to invest, to teach, to show them the way of God more perfectly, that there might be a time when they can go on and they would, as it were, vault beyond us, beyond the understanding that we may ever have in this world, and go on in life and in service and know there is a life that has now glorified God more deeply. And so the encouragement to shepherd. Like you think as well, there was a sacrifice of shepherding. Notice they brought Apollos into their own home. I imagine tent making was a very strenuous task. It wasn't likely something that many of us enjoy of an 8-to-5 job or a 7-to-4 job. It was something likely they worked on to the evening. And when was it that Apollos was taught? Was he taught while they worked? Did they spend the evening going on late into the evening explaining the Word of God to him? There was effort. There was a sacrifice to shepherd this man. Notice as well the responsibility of shepherding. First of all, you notice in verse 24, he began to speak boldly, 26, began to speak boldly and when they had heard him. And so there was a responsibility. They heard him. They knew, as it were, who was new in their area. They knew someone was new and what they had done. Notice as well, they listened so as to better evaluate. They were not quick to judge the man. And then perhaps most importantly, they themselves knew the truth of the Word of God. And not only did they know it, they had the ability to teach it. And notice as well, they were able to feed this man, Apollos. The responsibility of shepherding. But finally, in relation to the responsibility of shepherding, notice that they did not spare in the presentation of truth toward him. They declared unto him, they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, more exactly, more accurately. You know, many of us, if we were in that situation, we might have said, well, look at this man, and he has gone forth, and he is preaching in the synagogue, and there's many people who are listening, and they're hearing of the way of the Lord, from verse 25. Maybe we should just leave him alone. What if we teach him the Word of God, and he gets offended, and he goes away? But no, they knew this man needed to understand more. And so they had the responsibility to teach the Word of God, and to present truth in its order. And they had the privilege of having this man in their home. So the encouragement to shepherd, the sacrifice, and the responsibility of shepherding. Notice quickly the fellowship of shepherding, a husband and wife together. No strife between them, no contention between them. They work together in the ability to present truth to this man. Notice the humility of shepherding. There was no holding back. But there was a recognition of the life that God had touched in this man of Apollos. And their desire just simply was that the Word of God would be expounded unto him, would be declared to him. They were just willing to have a part in this man's spiritual education. And where he went from there was up to God. And they were just content to have a part in his life and his teaching, the humility of shepherding. And finally, shepherding would not be, the topic of it would not be complete without mentioning the joy of shepherding. For all the work and their sacrifice, the responsibility, and the work that was done, the joy of shepherding. What must have been like for Aquila and Priscilla? For the years to go on, the scripture records for us over 10 years of a life of this man of Apollos. And he is going on in faithfulness and in constancy before God. And they had the joy. Is it not the Apostle John who could say, I have no greater joy than my children walk in truth? And they knew what it was to take this man and to have this small part of teaching him the Word of God and have the privilege of seeing God use them and knowing just in a way that was without pride at all, just have that joy of seeing them and the joy of shepherding one another. So Apollos, an encouragement to shepherd. Moving on then to the references that are given for us in 1 Corinthians. I think we see here the fact of the servant character of the man Apollos. A servant does not rise above his master. So we have in the book of 1 Corinthians the unfortunate events that are taking place in this church in Corinth. And we have from chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, those contentions that were found, those divisions, that strife that was taking place in that church, in that assembly. There we see in chapter 1 and verse 12 that he is named as one of the men that the Christians are rallying behind or around. You know, if this was all that we had, we didn't have the further references in 1 Corinthians, you might have wondered if this eloquent man, as it were, hadn't gone back to what he was before. A man who just in his natural state had the ability to speak and the ability to gather people around them. The ability to just be a leader. But we notice that he was a leader. I believe he was followed because of his command of the scriptures. They followed him because he had the ability to teach. They followed him because he had the ability to encourage them and to show them the Word of God. And so you might have wondered if this man who before was subject to the Spirit of God had gone astray and now was part of this partying spirit of one against another. But notice there is no mention ever in Scripture of Apollos encouraging those believers in their ways. And so we go on to chapter 3 and we look at those verses there. We see there the reason that it is that way, and Paul is declaring to the believers in Corinth that they really were not able or were not correct in holding up men above other men. Because really, as great as any man may be, he is just a servant. He's just a minister of God. Paul and Apollos were workers together. They were ones who just were those who were able to plant and to water. But it was God that gave the increase. They were just ministers. They were ones who were going to have their own reward for their own deeds and for their own work. But there was no eternal profit. There was no eternal gain if God did not work. Notice, and I picked up this quote, and I'm not exactly sure where I got it from, but it's not from myself. Notice that the believers were quarreling over the work of the servants. And really, in reality, the servants were simply just doing the work that God had given them to do. I mentioned again, the believers were quarreling over the work of the servants. And they were saying, well, we like Paul and we like Apollos and we like Peter and the work that they were doing. But really, those servants, those men of God, were simply doing, and they were doing the work that God, the Heavenly Master, had assigned in His purpose and His wisdom and His grace. And so they were simply servants of God. We must come then to the end of chapter 3 and into chapter 4 to really have the proof that Apollos had no part in the divisions that were in Corinth at that time. Why? The example is that in chapter 4 and verse 6 that Paul and Apollos were actually examples of humility before the believers. That ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you might be puffed up one against the other. Chapter 4 and verse 6. So they were examples in humility. By their very lives, they were teaching the believers not to look at themselves, but to look at Christ. To look away from them and onto the Lord. And again, a bit of a side note. Do we know what it is to look at men and women in this manner? Do we know what it is to look at men and women, and we can look at their lives and we can truly see ones who are doing, and God is taken up, and they're doing great work for God, and yet there is not a spot of pride in their lives? We know what it is to have men and women come amongst us, and there are men that I can think of, and women as well, and those that you can think of, and we can look at their lives and we can see great work done for God, and they were the most humble believers that we would ever consider we might be like. There is not a spot of pride, but a continual pointing to Christ, a pointing to what He has done. There is also not a self-deprecating attitude or an attitude of putting oneself down, but they are real servants of God, ones who have the mind of Christ, one who are willing to be humble in the way that God has used them. So really, what are the reasons that Paul gives for the believers, that they are not to think of others and to be puffed up one against the other? Chapter 4 and verse 7 asks three rhetorical questions. Really, why is it that men should not be thinking highly of other men, but should be thinking highly of Christ? Really, the reason is that we should glorify God in the gift given. Glorify God in the fact that the gift has been given and that the gift has been exercised, and to not be glorifying in the person to whom that gift has been given. So the first reason, verse 7, who maketh thee to differ? Why are we different? We're different in the gift that has been given because it is God who has given that. It's God who has given as He has chosen. It's His prerogative and His choice. The second question, what hast thou that thou hast not received? Everything we have has been given to us by God. So why would we consider others above ourselves? And then the end, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? So because gifts have been given by God as He has chosen, because everything that we have has come from God, we should be ones who are characterized by a humble spirit and gratitude and not pride one toward another. So there are men of God. Apollos was a servant, a man who knew what it was to simply do as God would choose in his life for him. Chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, put over this simple verse, just this little heading, fellowship with God. It's an interesting verse, as we see here, that he's obviously moved away from Corinth, and the Apostle Paul is desiring that he would go there and to work with the believers. And so we notice that Paul directed and encouraged many men in their path and directed them into the ways they should go. But we must notice, and we have the example here from the man of Apollos, each one of us are answerable and accountable to God. And so Apollos had the freedom before God to do as God would direct him. And so we see at that time that he was not willing, he had not given the green light to go. And so he had the freedom to be directed by God only in his paths, knowing what it was to have fellowship with God. Coming now finally, in the last few moments, to the final reference in Titus in chapter 3. I put over his life here, the life of Apollos, a simple word, faithfulness. Years have passed from the time of Acts chapter 18, the time when he came to the city of Ephesus. And the scriptures close on this man Apollos, and he is still on a journey. He's still heeding the word of God and going on in service for him. And so we see here that Paul is desiring that he would come and be with him and would have fellowship with him. Notice that he is the one who is still esteemed. He is one who years later, I believe this is at least 10 years after the record in Acts chapter 18, years later he is still one who is counted worthy of support by his fellow believers, worthy of support by the brethren. And so this would speak of the faithfulness and the constancy of his life before God. I think we see here as well the room that God has for every servant. God is the heavenly master, one who chooses and places men and women as he would desire them. And we notice there was no falling out with his brethren. You know, it might have been quite a feather in his cap for this man, Apollos, to be linked with the apostles, Peter and Paul and Apollos. You know, it might have been something that he might have been looked up upon himself and said, look at the height that I have attained to. We notice that it is still his servant character. There's no mention of him falling out with others. And he is one who is going on in fellowship with God and with his brethren. Faithfulness toward God and toward others. So our time has gone, Apollos. As I mentioned in the beginning, first of all, when we think of him, often we thought of him as an eloquent man. I trust as the time has gone, as we've considered the references to this man, Apollos, you might notice that he is more than that. A man who has been taken up by the Spirit of God. A man who has allowed himself to be used by the Spirit of God. And is recorded for us an example of a servant who simply does the bidding of his master. So again, the mistakes that he made, really there is no mistakes mentioned in his life. This man Apollos, nothing negative in his life. Just an example for us to follow. A man who is willing to learn. A man who is willing to follow God. A man who is willing to go on in fellowship with his God. And maybe know what it is to follow in his example. That when the day of judgment comes for each one of us, the judgment seat of Christ, you might know what it is to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Our God and our Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're thankful for the Word of God and what it can speak to us, how it can show us this life of this man who is taken up by the Spirit of God. We pray we might know what it is in each one of our lives to be men and women who are willing to shepherd, men and women who are willing to look upon others and to help them, and to know what it is to accept their help and to go on in service for Thee. We thank Thee for all that Thou art doing. For this example before us, we're thankful that Thou art still molding men and women for Thy service. And we just would pray that Thou would continue to bless in the lives of each one of us assembly here in Winnipeg. We're thankful again for the Word of God, for what has been spoken to the children downstairs, as well for the Gospel tonight in Thy will, we pray for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.